Our scripture lesson this morning is from the first book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 through 20, found on page 218 in your pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for allowing me the time to stand in this, your pulpit, in this, your church, to have read your sacred scripture now and to share my testimony. Amen. Sermon notes can be found in your bulletin. Today, we're going to continue in our series, Chosen. And today we're going to focus on the word changed. But before we do that, I don't know about anyone else, but it never ceases to amaze me about how fast time goes by. I mean, isn't it amazing? It's 2019 and we're almost done with the first quarter of 2019. And time keeps going faster and faster. Someone this week asked me how old I was, and I told them 37. And really, I still feel 37, but when I look at the clock and the wall calendar and things that have changed, a lot has happened, and it seems like it went so fast. You know, it's amazing to look back even 10 years ago and see all the things that maybe have completely changed. Well, other things have stayed exactly the same. For example, 10 years ago, I had a daughter in 11th grade and a son in 12th grade, and they were involved in all these activities, and my wife and I were just running and running to keep up with all that they were doing, all the kids that were at the house, providing snacks after the football games. Life was so busy, and then now we'll sit on a Saturday night and hope the phone will ring and it's one of them just maybe wanting to check in. Around 10 years ago, I also had a cell phone. And you know what I could do with my cell phone? I could make a phone call. 10 years later, do you know what I can do with my cell phone? I mean, I got to tell you, this thing is smarter than I am. I mean, I can make calls. My cell phone can tell me when to wake up. It can tell me how many calories are in the food I eat and what I should even eat. It can remind me to read my Bible. I can turn my lights on in my house. I can shut my garage door. It's amazing. I don't even have to go to the bank anymore. I can just deposit checks from my cell phone. It's amazing what has changed over the past 10 years. And then there are those things that have remained the same. And I have to say, as a Clevelander, the Cleveland Browns still haven't made it to the playoffs. But seriously, there are things that as we reflect on what has changed and what not has changed, it's amazing to see that. And so in your mind right now, I'd like you to kind of just bring up maybe some things that have completely changed and some things that have remained the same. And looking back, it's amazing. Some things have changed and some things are exactly the same. So last week we started our series called Chosen. And in this series, we're talking about our identity. We're answering the basic questions of who we are and why we are here. We're simply talking about our identity, and to do so, we've been looking at the book of 1 Peter. And as I said last week, Peter was one of those 12 disciples. He was the one who denied Jesus a few times when the rooster crowed. He's also the one who Jesus said to, "You, Peter, upon you, I will build my church." So we're looking at some of Peter's words in a letter he wrote known as 1 Peter. And this letter, again, was wrote to encourage a group of Christians. And over again, throughout this letter, the main thing Peter was doing was encouraging these Christians and reminding them of their identity. He's just reminding them of the basics of who they are and of who we are. Now, last week, we talked about the fact that we are chosen by God, that God picks us. He's not stuck with us, and that we are His, not our own. Now, continuing today, I want to start off by reading that same verse that we began with last week, and that's in sermon note number one that we have. It says this. It says, "You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possessions. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For He called you out of darkness into wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people." Peter said, "You are chosen people. You are royal priests." And then today we get this new focus. Peter says, "You are a holy nation. You are a holy people." And what does holy mean? Holy means to be set apart. It means to be dedicated to God. And Peter was saying that as followers of Jesus, you are so different. You are different from the world. You're different from the person that you used to be. And basically, after you start following Jesus, you're no longer the same. Instead, you are changed by God. And so sermon note number two is this. Let's hold on to this. The moment you start following Jesus, every part of you will change. Your words, your actions, your thoughts, your desires, your attitudes, your relationship, and your life as a whole. And so Peter was reminding them of this change. He was saying, "Who are you? You're changed. You're holy. You're no longer the same. Instead, you are changed by God." Now, we hear these words about being called to be holy, and we think, well, that sounds really good, but I don't really feel different, or maybe I don't feel holy, and I'm trying to give this Jesus a chance, but how is this possible? How is it possible for human beings to change? You know, a lot of times we hear in pop psychology that we're wired this way. And so we can't be held responsible for things because we're wired this way. And to answer this today, I just want to highlight two different things that we can be changed. And Peter's words brings up two different truths when it comes to being changed by God. The first truth is this, sermon note 3a. The first truth is this. It's about a relationship, not rules. When it comes to being changed by God, when it comes to being holy, it's about a relationship, not rules. And just listen to this. One chapter before our main verse today, Peter says this, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy." I'll just say it for us. It's kind of a little overwhelming, isn't it? We must be holy in everything we do. Well, that might just be impossible. And when we hear that, We think of being a Christian, and the thing is, we think of things that God wants us to do. And so often we turn to being a Christian into a self-improvement program. We turn being a Christian into a moral code, into a way to manage sin and to follow a bunch of rules. I can't do this and I can't do that, and I shouldn't do this and I shouldn't do that. But once again, the primary way that we relate to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a relationship, not rules. You know, rules are there for a purpose, but we cannot let rules rule out a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the church, our calling to be here today is all about being in relationship to one another. Everything we do needs to be about being in a relationship of people who God has called together to be holy and to worship and minister each other and to support each other. The more and more we grow in our love and our relationship with Jesus, the more and more closer we get to Him. And the more and more He will begin to change us. I'm going to ask you this question. Have you ever been with someone who, when you're with them, they make you want to be a better person? Maybe you see the joy that they live life with, and just being with them, it gives you joy. And you see how faithfully they love others, maybe their spouse and complete strangers, and you see that the person they are, they're just so grace-filled, and there's no bitterness. And just by spending time with them, you feel grace yourself. Have you ever met someone like this? It's one of the pleasures I get as being a pastor is when I have gone from church to church is meeting people who make me feel like following Jesus. I remember back to my first pastorate in my little church in Butler, Ohio, with the population of the town was 750 people, and you could see everyone from the parsonage steps. Kind of fun. There was the town, there was the parsonage, and there wasn't a thing that I could do or my kids could do that wouldn't be noticed by anyone. Interesting. Okay. But I think about a bunch of those people, and a couple comes to mind from that Butler church. And this couple, their first names were Earl and Virginia, and they were just the kind of people that when you were in their presence, you couldn't help but love God, and you couldn't help but feel the presence of Jesus Christ when they were in the room. I remember them, and they were some of the kindest people, and they were kind of like surrogate grandparents to my kids who were 2 and 3 years old at that time. And I just remember that they were just so generous and just so giving, but they had such a beautiful relationship themselves, and they loved to talk about their relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, Earl and Virginia would talk about the church. They would talk about Jesus as if Jesus was right there. And I got to be honest, sometimes I'd look around because I think he's got to be here. This is absolutely amazing, the way I'm feeling inside. And they were amazing people who just by being with them, it changed me. And on an infinite level, this is us. When it comes to God, I mean, God is so good, and He's so right, and He's filled with truth, and He's quick to forgive, and He's the source of joy and peace, and He is so holy. And so, my friends, just by being near Him, He changes us. Just by being close to Him, by having a relationship with Him, He begins to change us from the inside. Stirring our heart, not our actions, and we begin to change. So we're holy not because we're trying to be a better person, but because God is changing us from the inside out. And once that change occurs, we can't help but be a better person. And so once more, it's about a relationship, not about rules. And some of us have maybe heard this before, but still don't get it. We think that following Jesus is all about not trying to sin. But it's more than that. It is having a personal relationship with him. Once more, it's about a relationship, not rules. And here's the second truth in our sermon notes 2B. So number one, it's about a relationship, not rules. Number two, here's the second thing. If we're going to be changed, how do we change? Well, we need to kill our old self. Now that sounds kind of intense, doesn't it? But listen to this. Peter said, you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. 1 Peter 1:14. Peter said, don't slip back into your old ways of living. But stronger words came from the Apostle Paul in his letters. He said this, my old self has been crucified with Christ. And he's saying to us that basically my old self, the person I used to be, has been nailed to the cross. The person I was before I knew and the things I used to do, it's been crucified. That person is dead. Those deeds are gone. And in that same verse, Paul went on to say this truth. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. See how deep that is? It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Basically, because of Jesus, I am a new person. I am a new creation. My old self is dead and I'm just a better person. I'm not just a self-improved person, but because of the cross, because of Jesus, I am made new. I am truly, truly changed. And so what's so wonderful about Jesus is that when we start following, he doesn't make us better. Instead, he makes us new. Hear that again. What's so wonderful about Jesus is when we start following him, he doesn't make us better. He makes us new. And part of being made new is letting go and getting rid of our old self, basically killing the person we used to be. And it's like saying, Jesus, today I am following you. And anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, help me to leave it behind. And help me to kill it. Jesus, please help me as I try to be holy as you call me to be holy as a new creation. So one more time, who are we? Well, we are changed by God. And how do we change? Well, we need to kill our old self. So when it comes to being changed by God, these are the two truths. It's about a relationship, not rules. And we need to kill our old self. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, Pastor, what's the number one way that our church maybe can grow? And people will ask me, what's the number one way that we as a congregation, you know, can do things for Christ's kingdom that will draw people to us? And it comes down to this. There's everything that we can do and say. There's things that we cannot do and say. But the biggest thing that we can do for one another and for others is to have a relationship with them. And as a congregation today, it's so important that we have this relationship and that we can worship together, we can pray together, and we can acclaim the name of Jesus Christ together. And because that relationship, things that kind of distract us aren't going to matter. You know, I think sometimes if you're like me, you have sometimes a certain vision of the way things should be. And church should be this way and worship should be this way. And, you know, we kind of get lulled into these things. And then we realize that we get so far off the mark and that what it's really about, what faith community really is about, are people who are gathered together who make each other feel like following Jesus and make each other feel that a relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing we can do. And with this, I want to share something else that Peter said. He says this, when it comes to being holy, he says, and he gives us this word of caution here, so think clearly and exercise self-control. 1 Peter 1:13. Again, think clearly and exercise self-control. As we move forward, as we want to become holy, as we want to be changed, as we're chosen by God, he acknowledges that our minds, okay, are human, and so sometimes we have to make sure that we're thinking things through clearly, and sometimes we tend to react rather than respond, so we have to exercise a level of self-control. You know, I mean, we can do that in other areas of our lives, but we need to do that in our spiritual lives. Think clearly and exercise self-control. You know, in the past few months, I've been trying to do that, to think more clearly and exercise self-control. And, you know, one of those things that hasn't changed over the past 10 years is I love pasta. Love it. And yet one of the things that I know is that I've got to be really careful about my weight because of the health issues and stuff like that. And so I've got to think clearly about what I'm eating, and I got to exercise some self-control with that. Now, that's a very simple analogy, but let's take that to the level of our spiritual lives and the life of our church. We need to think clearly and exercise self-control, because sometimes we need to find what Jesus, what God would want for us in our homes, in our families. But today in our church, as he was talking, 1 Peter was talking to that church, God wants us to be in relationship. And so we've got to think clearly about that. And so what that means for us is every time we get together, every time we go to a meeting, every time we plan something, we've got to think clearly. Are we pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ through what we're about to do? And number two, we have to exercise self-control. You know, there are sometimes things just rub us the wrong way. There are sometimes conflict cannot be avoided. But we have to realize that when those times happen, that we need to exercise that self-control and ask the Lord Jesus, you know, Father, I'm feeling this way. You know, can you speak the truth in this so that I can approach this as you would? And now going back to us and God, you know, being changed by him, it's not easy either. And he's the one who changes our heart and the one who makes us new. But we ourselves also play a role in this. So you're asking, well, you know, we're changed by God, but Pastor, what do we have to do? Well, once again, think clearly, exercise self-control, and make daily hands our burdens over him and ask him daily to change us, getting rid of the things that maybe are weighing us down or making life not easy, maybe because of things that are distracting us, but we need to do that. When it comes to killing our old self, hear this, our old self will do anything to stick around. Old friends can tell us, you're never going to change. And when we try to make changes and leave our old ways just behind, just a warning, temptation will be all over the place. And there might be parts of our old self that we're really like, that we really like. And we might have to give up some things that we enjoy. There might be some situations and places we can't go anymore. There might be some changes that hurt and truly painful to make, but again, Peter tells us, think clearly and exercise self-control. And this isn't easy. And yet, hear this. It is worth it. It is worth it. A life spent with Jesus is so much better than any life we can find on our own. He doesn't make us better. He makes us new. So as we think about those two different truths today about being changed, number one, it's about relationships, not rules. Sometimes we can get caught up in rules. I know growing up, you know, as a Roman Catholic, I mean, one of the first things we learned was about rules. And several different things. And I remember as a college freshman, you know, what anybody who knows about being Catholic, what's the rule about Friday? No meat. I'll never forget. It was December 7th, and I think it was 1981. I had just got done playing my first jury, which was a piano performance in front of three professors, and that jury was your grade for the semester. It was and so all that you had done through the semester didn't matter. That jury was going to be your grade. And I'll never forget, you know, going into that jury, and there was this concert hall, and there was a piano, and the music rack was off of it, and the lights were dark, and all you could see was the spotlight on the piano. And I sat down, and all of a sudden my mind went blank. And then in a minute I regained my consciousness. And when I got done with that jury, I was starved. So starved. That's a true story. So our campus center had an Arby's. Okay? So I go to Arby's, and what do you order when you go to Arby's? A roast beef sandwich. It's Friday. And I remember taking a bite of that sandwich, and I thought, oh dear God, I'm going to die. Serious. No, I am serious. That's how much rules ruled my life. And after I didn't die, I thought to myself, wow, I still feel like I'm here. Now, I'm being jovial about that, but I got to tell you, you know, there's something good about fasting. There really is. But when we focus on the actual rule instead of actually the spiritual discipline, you see what I mean. We get led astray, and so it's not about eating meat through that sandwich. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's what's probably for me about leaving that jury and saying, Lord, thank you for being with me as I went through that. And after that, I had a glimpse of really things just kind of changed and changed, and that led to my conversion to kind of being really accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So it's about relationships, not rules. And it's about acknowledging that, you know, there are things in ourselves we're just going to have to put to rest. There's things about maybe the way we view things that we're going to have to put aside, and we're going to have to center things on this relationship with Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, even though today I'm a pastor, God still changes me. And I pray he never stops. I've got to be honest with you. Today, as I was driving up to church, was driving on 75 to 675, just got this really warm feeling in my heart. And it was like it's God's presence. And I got to tell you, you know, since I've been here at Faith Community, I've been changed. I'm different. And you know what that's all about? It's about relationships. It's about what we have grown together in even since the month of October. But I'm different. I've got a little spring in my step because when I'm with you all, I feel the presence of Jesus Christ. And I feel that there is something beyond what we're doing right now that he's calling us to. And that makes me glad. And that makes me happy. And so I pray that you will leave this church some days feeling that same way, because that's what God wants from us, a relationship. And like I said, when we start following him, everything seems better. And the truth for all of us, you and I, is this. Once again, we are chosen and we are changed by God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for relationship. Thank you for giving us the ability to listen and think carefully. Thank you for giving us the knowledge that we can kill our old self, that those things that have bound us, those things that have caused us problems, that we can put aside, and that in you, we not only become a better person, but we are made new. And how much better we are when we are in your presence, Lord. And God, I just pray that as we go through this week, we spend more time with you in prayer and community and engaging in the things of the church. Lord, help us live a life committed to you, following Jesus. Help us become holy as you call us to be holy. And we're closer to you, O Lord, and make us more like you. And while it's about a relationship, not rules, if there's something specific that you would have us do or individually, Lord, have thine own way. And I pray, Lord, as we go this week, that we will take time to be holy. We will take time to reach out in relationship to one another. We will take time to change our thoughts or check our thoughts and exercise that self-control. We ask this in your most precious name. Amen.